With cases of COVID-19 raging across the nation, there is concern about the prisoners in lockdown in Oregon prisons. With me is Ray Fox, who was formerly incarcerated in the Oregon prison system. Ray, talk about what it's like in the Oregon prisons, especially when we talk about social distancing. How do the men live? Do they have single cells?
Single cells in the Department of Corrections are pretty much not happening. There's very few single cells. The disciplinary segregation unit has single cells. IMU's got single cells, which is the intensive management unit. So you're bunked in a cell at the Oregon State Penitentiary, OSCI, all of them. So anywhere you live, you're going to have somebody in your cell where there's no social distancing at all. A lot of the prisons got dormitories where there's no way you can social distance there either.
So are they social distancing in the chow hall?
They all go to the dining room, and you got a dining room that holds, depending on what prison you're in, it could hold up to maybe 75 to 100 people. And the tables are really close together with barely walking room in between the tables. What they were doing as far as social distancing in the chow hall were, and I say were because that's what I've been told, is they were just running one housing unit at a time to the chow hall. That's all great, but if you got infected people, you're still going to infect the guys because they got to take their masks off to eat their meals.
And Ray, you have friends inside who you have been communicating with. What are they telling you?
I have a friend that's at the Oregon State Correctional Institution whose cellie tested positive for COVID-19. 3 days after his cellie tested positive for COVID-19, they moved his cellie to Coffee Creek Correctional Institution, is where they're putting people that get tested positive for COVID for 2 weeks. So then they started testing my friend every day for COVID. He tested positive eventually. They moved him to Coffee Creek. The guy's 67 years old. He's got a firm release date of February of next year. He's been in close to 40 years. His parents are old. He's just trying to get out to see his parents before they die.
So he has 3 months left on his 40-year prison sentence, and instead of releasing him, they send him to be confined at Coffee Creek, the women's prison in Wilsonville.
And that's where they're putting all the people that test positive. They put him there for 2 weeks and then brought him back to OSCI because I guess 2 weeks cures you of COVID.
So why wasn't he just released from prison?
My friend has been in almost 40 years. He gets out in February 2021. He's got everything he needs to be a productive citizen out here in the community. But because he fell at a young age on a violent crime, he is not eligible to be released early from prison. OSCI had no COVID at all until the wildfires. The smoke was getting really bad, burning towards where some of the prisons are down there in Salem, that forced the Department of Corrections to evacuate three prisons in Salem. They put them all in the Oregon State Penitentiary, where there was an outbreak, a known outbreak. I don't accept, well, we just made a mistake. We didn't have any plans to evacuate. You put three other prisons inside a known contaminated prison.
As of November 16th, the Department of Corrections website shows that there are no current adult in custody active cases of COVID at the Oregon State Penitentiary.
DOC has already admitted that they made a mistake and put these people at the Oregon State Penitentiary with the outbreak. You can't just stop an outbreak that quick and convince me that there's no outbreak there.
So according to the Department of Corrections website, they say they are following CDC guidelines concerning COVID-19, including sanitizing, wearing masks, social distancing. Ray, what are you hearing from your friends inside?
What I'm hearing from my friends is that the staff do not wear masks the majority of the time. The cleaning solutions that they give are watered down really bad. I know when I was serving my time that they watered down the chemicals. Also, they don't do anything for social distancing. They have the same people serving chow that are sick, living in sick units, cooking the meals for the guys in custody. And the word I'm getting is the officers at Oregon State Correctional Institution are doing what they want to do at officers' discretion. They're throwing that out a lot. It's officers' discretion. So it's officers' discretion to infect a whole bunch of people that don't need to be infected.
So one of the ways that the prisoners would be getting infected with COVID-19 would be the staff, correctional officers, leaving the prison, going home to their families and their communities, just going back and forth to work in the prison.
That's totally correct, because they have no visitors. They can't have anybody visiting. So people are disconnected from their loved ones out here, except for by a phone call.
And what about attorneys? Are attorneys allowed to meet with their clients inside the prisons?
Last I heard, they're only able to talk to their attorneys via a phone call.
And what is communicating like with prisoners and their families and friends?
I think it's 4 tablets for a housing unit that might have up to 100 people in it. I can't do video visits with my friends because there's not enough tablets to go around. Well, why not put them on a sign-out basis? You can have it for 4 hours, then you got to turn it in. You can't just check it out and keep it just because officers want to be lazy.
Now, there are lawsuits against the Oregon Department of Corrections due to COVID-19 in the prisons. Are your friends inside the prisons involved in any lawsuits against the Department of Corrections?
The problem with that is they cannot tell me because phone calls are recorded. And they'll be jeopardizing themselves to be giving out that information over a phone. Unless you're talking to your attorney, your phone calls are being monitored. So they're real careful of what they say to me. And they can't even put it in the mail because DOC has the right to open your mail even before they mail it out. They'll cut it open, then tape it shut. So getting communication is really difficult.
So, Ray, you say that the prison staff and officers are using their own discretion concerning wearing masks, social distancing. What about the prisoners themselves? Are they following CDC guidelines?
Only the prisoners that are in honor housing.
And what is honor housing?
Honor housing is where you live when you've stayed out of trouble for an extended period of time. You're working full-time, going to school full-time. You're being productive people in our prison system. So you earn the privilege of moving into what I call the Hilton of housing units, where you got more activities, you got more leeways. But right now what I'm hearing is the only unit that's pretty much on lockdown is the honor housing, because they know they can do anything they want with them guys, because them guys are trying to stay out of trouble, trying to keep their good jobs and stay in a housing unit where they get these extra benefits while they're serving their time. The people in the other housing units, they don't have nothing to lose, so they don't want to wear their masks. The officers ain't going to enforce it.
What about prison staff who test positive for COVID-19?
Well, I've heard that at OSCI, staff that have knowingly tested positive for the coronavirus are still coming to work and not wearing masks. The DOC, Department of Corrections, is their own entity. They're their own world. They got their own rules. But at the same time, they're a government agency and they need to follow the stipulations put out by our governor, because our small businesses out here, they're following the guidelines set out by our governor. Well, if they have to follow the guidelines, why shouldn't the DOC be held accountable to follow them same guidelines?
Do the prisoners have any recourse? Have any of them filed complaints or grievances?
Yes, and when they do, they get punished. They get punished. If they're in honor housing, they get kicked out of honor housing because they all of a sudden start getting DRs. All the inmates that want to file grievances, file lawsuits, if they're in honor housing, they get kicked out of honor housing. They lose their jobs. They lose their incentives. They don't want to lose anything. So they have to be really, really careful There's another thing I want to throw out there is I'm getting ready to start a CURE support group where I can communicate with people's loved ones out here and help them understand what's going on the inside.
Ray, explain what CURE is.
CURE is an acronym, Citizens United for the Rehabilitation of Errands. Errands being the people in our prison system. And what CURE does is bridge the gap of communication between people out here and their loved ones on the inside. We help them understand how to get visiting, how to get money to them, everything they need to know about transition because their loved ones just went to jail. We help them understand all the particulars, how to get phone calls set up, how to get letters going in, addresses, all the information they need, we provide. And I'm getting ready to start one of them groups right here in Northeast Portland.
So how would friends and family of Oregon prisoners get in touch with you?
My email address is rayallenfox@gmail. rayallenfox@gmail.com. My phone number is 503-421-0269. So please text first, and then you're more than welcome to call.
As of November 16th, the Oregon Department of Corrections is reporting 16 deaths of adults in custody due to COVID-19. Any comments?
I don't have any information on how many deaths, but with the massive amount of people infected with this, they're having outbreaks at the Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution, Snake River Correctional Institution, Oregon State Correctional Institution, Oregon State Penitentiary. And I haven't been in contact with people at the minimum facilities, but if they're having that big outbreaks, I find it really hard to accept that there's only been 16 deaths.
Ray, you've been out of prison now for 5 years. Why are you still connected with what is happening in the Oregon prison system?
The system needs overhauled. There's a lot more that could be done to help people better themselves while they're in there. So when they transition back out, how can we make that transition better for people getting out? How can we support that to stop the recidivism? After 30 years of incarceration at Columbia River Correctional Institution, they told me I did too much time, that I wasn't eligible for the transition programs. Anybody that's serving time needs the transition programs, especially the people that do a lot of time.
And Ray, give that information again about the new CURE support group in Northeast Portland.
My email address is rayallenfox@gmail. My phone number is 503-421-0269.
I've been speaking with Ray Fox. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.